Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that years ago when you dwelt in the flesh of the beloved Son, you were incarnated therein. When people would say, Jesus is here, it would mean some would be screaming it in anticipation, and some in anxiety, and some in great wonderment. Other times it would be just very lowly spoken, Jesus is here. And they would appreciate that so much, knowing that you were there to help, and wherever you were, that the death was turned into life, and sorrow into joy, and sickness into health, because you were there, Lord. And we know that many did not avail themselves of the opportunity, and also it was not meant for many. But those with whom you dealt, Lord, every time the darkness turned into light, and the sorrow into joy, the sickness into lack of pain and health, Lord. And we appreciate that you're here today, and we just ask you, Lord, our great God, that you would do in us and amongst us what is the desire of your heart for us, Lord. Whatever our needs are, they are in our own minds, but you know what our true needs are, Lord, and we would pray that you would deal with our true needs, even as John said, that I wish above all you may be in health and prosper. Even as your soul prospers, we pray our souls may prosper, Lord. Do we have those things that our body and our homes and various natural areas of our lives demand, Lord, which would mean jobs and some type of security? And we thank you for that, Lord. But we also know that there is a health problem, and the health problem, Lord, could drain every cent, no matter how rich a person was. So we know that John was correct, very correct, when he said the soul would prosper, the body prosper, and there would be means to keep the body moving in the right way it should be, and the necessities of life met, and we could rejoice in the fact of your goodness. Help us, Lord, to believe that this morning, to sow in that regard, to reap in the same regard, and to come forth in the resurrection, blessing your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 11 of the restoration of the bride tree, and last Wednesday we found Brother Branham illustrating the last day restoration by referring to Jesus Christ in several ways, which of course would be the Alpha of the last day, Omega of restoration. Now that's very true, because if there is an Alpha, there has to be an Omega. and if there's an Omega, there's somewhere there is an Alpha. And so Brother Branham is taking us to the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the Alpha of the Omega of the restoration of the bride tree. Now, there are several ways in which he spoke, or several ways and manners of speech concerning the Alpha. Number one was Jesus perfectly fulfilled the entire scripture concerning Messiah, because he was that tree, the bridegroom tree, that bore God's perfect fruit. In other words, there was every single evidence proven 100% that Jesus Christ was that Messiah. There was absolutely nothing he ever said or did. Now, ever said or did really should be ever did or said, because prophets always do and then they speak. There was absolutely nothing he ever did or said that was of himself, for he was only and perfectly the perfect channel of God himself. For God was incarnated in him, in and through him, and God said and did it all in and through the person of Jesus, the Son of God. Now there's the great teaching right there that is 100% scriptural. Most people want to make that God the Son. There's no way you can make it God the Son. There's no way. And then there's no way you can get rid of the Son of God and defer only to the Father. There's no way you can do that. That's absolutely impossible. None of his judgments were his own, but all of God's judgments were committed to him and through him. Even his very speech, all manner of words, were of God. Number two, his works most evidently proved he was a God. But his words bit into the Pharisees and those that listened to him, rebuked and announced them, and they hated him for it. In other words, they were so angered by the disturbing of their minds and their thinking concerning the philosophy of life, their understanding of themselves and God and relationships. What Christ said was so foreign to them that this is why they hated him. Number three, they hanged him on a tree, which was none other than the man-made denomination or tree of Rome. That's Brother Branham's own appraisal, and absolutely his own understanding given by God. Number four, he was taken down from the tree when he died and hidden in a cave and sealed with a huge denominational rock that not only was designed to rid them of his memory, himself and his memory, but also to keep his followers out. In other words, it was a complete sealing, a job completely done. That's the end of him and anything to do with him and any people, etc. Number five, he arose the third day because restoration had been promised. And as he arose, he spoke these words that Brother Branham quoted, paragraph 7, page 65. After Easter, when he was risen, he said, "Go into all the world, and I'm going to go with you. As the living Father has sent me, and he's in me, so send I you, and will be in you, with you. I'm with you to the end of the world. The works, the same thing that I did to prove that I was, or who I was, you'll do the same things to prove you, who you are." I like that. "These signs shall follow them that are believers," not make believers, but believers. See, "these things that I do, you'll do, and I'll vindicate that you're a believer, just the same as the works that I have done, because the Father lives in me. It isn't I that is doing the works, it is my Father. And it won't be you doing the works, but be I in you doing the works. See, now you go into all the world, otherwise you're going to form what's known to me as a bride." The word "otherwise" is, I think, a poor choice of words. Although it means otherwise, he's saying, the words that I'm telling you, or what I've already said to you, is going to cause you, your ministry, my ministry in you, to form what is known to me as a bride. Now, the word "bride" is seldom used in the Bible. It's used a little bit, but the word used is mostly the word "church." Now, just looking at before we read where we left off at last week, we want you to notice here that Brother Branham has not yet preached anointed ones of the end time. He has not made very many declarations concerning the Son of Perdition ministry. He's not said too much. So, as he's speaking here, it's very easy to not keep in mind all the principles and everything that Brother Branham has said, though we must keep in mind what has been said and what are the true scriptural laws that have been laid down. Because if you do not follow the true scriptural laws that have been laid down, understanding scripture, you can come up with what is a very terrible situation in the church, which has come up, which is the same situation you have in the world today as to what is wrong with the world and how the world is corrupted. Now, if you take every single element and that's what they are, they're elements that in themselves are pure, and yet in combination, the way God laid them down, there's never any real harm in them. But you'll notice as soon as man came along and began to break down all of these elements into their own simple and singular oneness concerning themselves and begin combining them in a manner which was not in nature, you found substances that are so highly detrimental as to be literally killing the people. Until, I don't know whether you know it or not, but the substance that they put on lawns called feed and weed is absolutely deadly. And this may be why many children are born deformed and why people are dying, is because on your lawns and every place you go, you are facing death. Now, you should not be facing death because God said everything that's made of is good. See, man has messed with it. Man has changed it. Man has done something about it. In other words, he's put something to it. He's put his hands on it. Now, when God told Adam to control the world, that he was a literal master under him, Brother Branham clarified that by telling you it was Adam leading the animals and nature through the Holy Spirit. Now, you can take soya beans, and soya beans are very good for food. And you can do it, Henry Ford did. You can subsidize the laboratory. And you can take the soya beans and make them into a plastic that, hey, unless you pour some kind of acid on it, it's going to sit there in the soil, you're in, you're out, nothing happens to it. Overdoing things. I don't think that God was angry at man when he took the iron out of the soil and made a few nails, but nowadays you've got iron mines, and they're pouring tons and tons of acid into the ground that destroy people. Do you know that America actually makes 500 million tons of chemicals which can kill you? Do you realize how many tons that is per person? There's only 250 million people in America. If we don't have it all here, we ship it out so other people get killed too. So what I'm trying to show you here is that I don't care where you turn. There's no business in anybody trying to think anything outside of the pure word of God that God stands with. The minute one word is changed, you're in Satan's kingdom. And I just took my time to prove by nature. And the thing is, you can come to the place like your plastics. It won't do you any good to burn it even. They're there. It's like an eternal condition that has been brought on. Now, looking at God in nature and God in a prophet, wherein you see the true vindication of God, do you realize the chemistry, the spiritual chemistry of people today is, I will go to hell and suffer into hell with you and your God and your hell. Don't talk to me. They said, Brother Vail, you put that very strong and angry. Why do you think they killed and crucified Jesus? If there had been any way according to their religion, they'd have burned him while he was crucified. They'd had sulfuric acid in those days, they'd have dripped it on him. Who are you trying to kid this morning? You know something? We should be just as tough and tougher. Because one day the fire of God is going to vaporize everything but you and me. By the grace of God, I hope we are at what I said. See, so here you are. Many people, as I say, go to what Brother Branham said, because that's what I'm leading to. And they get a word off or they misapply. They don't thoroughly understand the difference between a prophet and the ordinary born-again believer. You don't understand the difference between a fivefold ministry and the ministries that belong to each and every one of the people in the church, which are not fivefold or in that major word prophet. Everybody's got a ministry. Everybody's got a calling. That's why it's such a pity the gifts got out of the church. But evidently there were people in the church whose inner substance within their souls or psyche could not handle the success of what gifts implied. Oh, I prayed for the sick, bless God, and she got healed. Oh, just a minute now. Just hold it, hold it. I went to visit her the next day, and she wasn't healed. So I prayed, and she got healed. Now you say, Brother Dave, you're stretching it. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been all through this. I've prayed for sick, hundreds of them. I've come behind people who didn't get any results, but that didn't mean because I prayed and they were healed. That was some great result. God was giving me an opportunity, using me, giving me a little hope, a little something to do and help somebody with His strength and His might. People are so careless when it comes to God and the things of God that I can see why Brother Branham said this is the mind age and the mind is corrupt. He said, we've eaten so much food that isn't even food, our bodies turned to mush. What about the mind? We've got a doubly hard job in these days to really look at what Brother Branham is saying. It's just like a fellow said, when the whole truth of His presence was brought out and hammered day and night, not only by ministry but many others, men who should have known better, who actually go around telling you that, oh, I've got it all. And His statement was, He's here, so what? He's here, so what? That's a piece of homemade plastic made from the serpent's own formula, hardened in the fires of hell. That's what that guy's heart is. And he's mine. He's here. So what? Can you fathom it, you sitting here this morning? I can't fathom it. It just makes me wonder, hey. But Brother Branham said it just makes you cling a little closer to Him. Walk a little further from the edge of corruption. Draw a little closer to reality. Now after rising, this is the Omega, He said, go into all the world and I'm going with you. Now do you realize that Brother Branham here is quoting a seed scripture? He is quoting you that which cannot fall except into the ground and die and come out again into a perfect manifestation of what He wanted from this word. Because the word cannot return unto Him void, but it must accomplish what He sent it, bringing bread to the sower. God wants His food back. He said, I'm not just planting seed here to let it go to waste. This is my food, I want it back. I want it presented at my table. The great marriage supper of the Lamb. Now I said, I'm going with you. As the living Father has sent me and He's in me, so I send you and will be in you. I'm with you to the end of the world. That's now, right? The works, the same thing that I do to prove that I was, you'll do the same things to prove that you are. Now remember, this is the Alpha of Omega. This is the original sowing of what must come forth. Now tell me, when did this come forth? This is not something you look at and say, well, my, didn't we miss it? Oh, my. That reminds me of how God said to Israel. He said, Israel, I bought the best piece of ground I could buy. I took out every single rock there was there. I fertilized it to the hilt. Then I got me a grapevine and I planted it. And I planted a little house for the guard. And I watered it. And when I came to get grapes, all I got was sour grapes. Listen, that's just a parable or a picture. something happened. Somebody meddled with it. But don't tell me that there's not going to be a time when that grapevine is going to produce the most marvelous grapes in all the world because it's God's fruit. It won't be bit by a bunch of bugs, and it won't be too small. It won't be too big. It'll be 100% what God wanted. Now, this got to come to pass. See? And if it's going to come, if it's going to take to the end of the world to bring it to pass, that's when it's going to come to pass. And of course, if this is Alpha, then there's got to be an Omega, and there is no such thing as an Omega except at the very end. So I don't care anybody teaches about Scripture. Oh, Brother Bailey, I don't give a rip what you believe. Merciful God, I've given up what I believed years ago. Anything you and I can produce on this is God in us at His own time and His own will is going to come against us. So I don't know if I understand that. Well, I'll make it very plain. You tell me what power the devil has outside of God giving him that power, because all power is of God. Now you tell me the devil is scrupulous. So I know he's unscrupulous. That means he doesn't give two bits about God and His Word to you and me, long as he can do something, what he wants to do, and have his pleasure exactly right. Well, God is scrupulous, and He has His pleasure, and He will do what's right, and He will bring forth what He wants at the time He wants it done. So this is the Omega we're going to be looking at. This is Alpha. Brother Branham says, I like that. These signs follow them that are believers. Not make believers, but believers. Now, anointed ones, he says, there are three kinds. Here, kind got two. These things that I do, you do, and it'll vindicate that you're a believer. Hogwash. Take that statement, Pentecostal-wise, take it out of the Bible where we used to believe it, and simply apply it as hogwash. Because many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not done miracles and wonders and wonders? He said, get out of here. You're not a believer. You're a scuzzball. So, all right. Keep to your Omega. The Alpha is Jesus. Who's the Omega of Jesus? I will restore, saith the Lord. So the Omega is gone on the scene. Coming up from where the church went off to where we see the perfection of Him who is that perfect one. And it will vindicate your believer. Just the same as the works that I have done, because the living Father lives in me. And remember, Brother Branham had already uttered the challenge of the Alpha, come and stand beside me and do what I'm doing. Or shut up and get out of here. Amen. So if you're going to talk about Alpha and Omega, then get the Alpha, get the Omega. Don't come along like some half-witted, half-baked Christian and try to insinuate a verse of Scripture in there to suit yourself or somebody else. Keep it where it belongs. This is where the Word divides, and is divided quickly in no other way. He said, it isn't I that do. He said, it isn't I that is doing the works. It's my Father. And it won't be you doing the works, but I in you doing the works. Now, you can apply that through the ages as the baptism with the Holy Ghost, where there are certain works being done. Now, remember, He said, I'll be with you and in you. Are you going to tell me the anointed ones of the end time that are the apostles anointed the Word who can do all these wonderful things that He's in them? Absolutely no way. No. No way. It's merely anointing upon their spirits. The Spirit is not of God. It's only given of God. So He's not telling you one thing about the Holy Ghost in you. That's the Spirit that's given of God, that is of God, that's in you, anointing that seed in there, bringing that to light. And the life of the Word going in there, giving that life all the time, now comes out in the channel. That's why the church is put in order even for gifts, and the gifts are not out of order. That's why the Word is in order. That's why our lives are in order. Look around you and understand what we're talking about. You got a make believer and you got a believer. And every true believer is that seed and a measure of the Holy Ghost by the word of the hour to do what the word of the hour wants. And that's the word of the hour he understands and lives by. He doesn't live by Luther. He doesn't live by Wesley. We'll get into that someday. In my notes here pretty quick. In my notes are Brother Branham's sermons. Now, it'll be I and you doing the work, see. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ you willing and doing of his own good will. Now, if it's Christ in you willing and doing of his own good will, how can these false anointed people be raising the dead and healing the sick? When absolutely at the end time, it shows that you can be 100% a heathen in doing it. It's a great mystery, but it's been all made clear and explained under the seals. The two vines have come to light, 100%, but you can't get people to believe that. That's your business, not mine. I'm going to just stay with the Word and just keep on going. So you see, the Alpha is now the Omega. And Brother Branham categorically said, when they talked to him, and they said, what does it mean? When they said, when the man said to Jesus, he that seen me has seen the Father. He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. It is not William Branham that says ever so perfectly all these things that come to pass. It is not William Branham, but thus saith the Lord. He said, it is God. It was God in the man. And we were not looking at a man. We were looking at God under those conditions. So, well, Brother Vail, you're blaspheming. Well, wonderful, I'm blaspheming. What are you doing? You ain't got enough to do even that. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Man calls himself a Christian, doesn't even have enough as a word. Why? His brains were dynamite. He doesn't have, well, you know, wouldn't have enough to blow his hat off. That's the truth. Where do they stand? At least I've got enough brains to know exactly what his blasphemy is and how to do it. They're doing it and don't even know they're doing it. Wisdom is justified of her children. They don't understand that Brother Branham was talking about the Alpha of the Omega. And he had to do it that way, 100%. Now, continuing where he left off at. Well, just before we go. He said, now go into all the world. Otherwise, in other words, this is being done. Instead of using the word otherwise, he should have used it other words. That would have been easier on our understanding. In other words, you're going to form what's known to me as a bride. Now, Brother Branham exactly said that was his ministry. What could not have been accomplished by Jesus Christ and failed under Paul. There was now going to be the bride of Ephesians 5. And the king's daughters are glorious within and without. He said it. He never said the church was going to do it. Because the church has never had the ability. Why? Oh God, don't you understand a bride doesn't form herself? A child doesn't form him and herself? Tell me one of you said to your dad, Dad, I want to be here. Oh, come on. How is a bride formed at the end day? A perfect omega of the Alpha. Now it's been handed over to the original conception, inception, call it what you want, of the bride, the beginning, the starting, back there, under Jesus and under Paul. And it couldn't do it.
And the bride is not self-perpetuating. God does not have grandchildren. Duplessis said that. William Branham copied it. It's the truth.
Mother and a father. You see the Omega. A bride is going to be formed based on vindication. And anybody turn aside vindication and doesn't understand how we understand, that doesn't mean they got to believe as we believe. At least 80% is given to this, as Brother Branham did. Just as long as they stand on vindication and know, listen, all I know is he was vindicated. He had to have the truth. But you watch some of those same people turn right around, go back to Pentecost. They're lying to you. Lying is not going to get us anywhere with God. Let's get that flat. Now he says here the next verse. Paragraph, I'll go with you. You'll be a part of me. You'll be my bride. My life will be your body. Just like a husband and wife are one person, you and I are going to be one. At that day you'll know I'm in the Father, you and me and I and you. Now Brother Branham said it happened three times. At Pentecost, in this hour, and at the white throne. So that's this hour he's talking about the Omega. At that day, you'll know I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. I just love that. Satan just gets so angry at that. See, the oneness of God. Now, he's not talking about Godhead. Although, certainly, that's in there. What's he talking about? As a wife and husband are one, you and I are one. And at that time, I'm in the Father in me, and I in you. So see the oneness of God. The oneness of God, what? It's all God. That's how the bride is formed. There's nothing that isn't. Brother Branham said he doesn't take you, you don't find God in nature taking a human cell, adding a cat cell and a dog cell and a goat cell. It's all one. And if he's Word, and he's the life, and he's our life, then we are Word. The bride is all Word. And he's telling you right there, the bride is formed by vindicated Word. And no other. She doesn't have any other. Her mind is the mind of Christ. The eye was the prophet. It was the prophet age. Above the eye, as Brother Branham so correctly said, there are no moving parts. The mind is what you're looking at. All right, see the oneness of God. Now notice, all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. There you are. It makes them all one. Now, I always get a little bit horrified at that statement. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're going to look at it negligibly, erratically, so, okay, everything God was, he poured into Christ, and God's got nothing left. So God's out of the picture, here's Christ. Well, that's true in the sense of the word, and yet it isn't true, because it isn't that God poured into him, God walked into him. And the word is not poured, it's emptied. So therefore it tells you if God came into Christ in the complete fullness, there wasn't another God sitting on the throne, there wasn't somebody else out there, this was God manifest in human flesh. In Philippians, anyway, it's in the second chapter. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize or a place to be grasped and retained to be with God, but emptied himself, made himself an reputation, emptied himself. And that's where they get the word kenosis. My Brother Branham said he didn't vomit up, he emptied himself. Well, how far do you go in talking about emptying? Now look, if you're trying to push your car out of the mud, and you push, and you push, and you push, until with your last breath, that's all you can take, you fall in the mud. You've emptied yourself of every single thing that you could possibly do. And I'm looking at the same thing here, because it says that God himself was in Jesus. Jesus left the form that he had, which was his theophanic form. I don't think it was the form of Michael at that time. I kind of doubt it.
But I'm not here to say because I don't know exactly what it was. But he left it. That theophonic form, that word body, that spirit body that you and I had back there in some kind of a form, which we bypassed, he deliberately laid it down and came down here in human form. That same one. You say, well, I don't know how could... I ask you a question. How did you manage it? I really don't. Well, then shut up. Can't you just leave it up to God and rejoice? So, all right. Brother Branham said he reduced himself really in a figure to a sperm and an egg. That's what he reduced himself to, really was to sperm. And the egg was supplied in a created factor. And that life which still remembered went all through that process of gestation, 9 months in the womb, came out to be circumcised, dedicated at the temple, eventually to die upon Calvary, knowing all the time what was back there, in praying in Gethsemane. What a place to exchange for the Garden of Eden. Eden was a place of life and turned to death. Gethsemane, a place of death, turning to life, looking over. And he said, let this cup pass if you can. But he said, I know you can't. But he said, give me back the glory I had when I was with you. There's no stumbling around. The thing is absolutely there open before us all. Now, when God himself personally walked into Jesus Christ, that was God manifest in flesh in the Son. We know that. You can say what you want. Actually, there's two figures there together. There was two figures at the beginning. Brother Branham said they were both there. The light that came out of God, which was the Son, the Logos. And here was God himself, two of them. Now there's two in one. I'm not here to explain anything. I'm here to believe it. Now the next thing is, God leaves him. Jesus Christ dies upon the cross. He ascends. He sends forth his spirit with God's same spirit. No problem. A little baptism for you and me to come upon the life that's in us. Just like late Christ came down like we do. Just believe it, that's all. I have no trouble because I know a natural election. Natural election came from Adam, no problem at all. God already had it worked out, I got no problem. You got a problem, I'm sorry for you. You haven't been listening. That's your trouble. And when you listen, you don't believe. Because you're too smart, you've got something to think of. You got some kind of a great thing going for you. You either got too many degrees or no degrees because you don't want degrees because you're too smart to have them. That cut anything with you? I'm sorry if I'm cutting you. It's just the truth. People just don't know how to let this go here. Hey, man, teach me. Hey, man, tell me. Now, you're going to have a hard time because I have not much of a brain. Got a big old caboose down here, though. See things from my heart. That's all you've got to say. You don't go empty. You just got to have the right idea. Just don't get these things, don't get things get in your way. All right. He walked into him, then he walked out. Now Jesus, God, Brother Ban said, God took the soul, tore the soul out of Jesus, went back to the Father, the only begotten in the bosom. I've got no problem with that. Brother Branham said it, I believe it. How it is, I don't know. Then he said he sent that spirit back upon us. Now he said he poured everything that was in there into the church. Now you show me one place where God said the church was going to create. You show me one place where God said, I'll make the church so smart and so full of my word that I'll just step aside and they'll be able to do it all. So what did he pour into Jesus? He poured in him every single thing requisite, standing there, released it for our redemption. And what has Christ done? Released everything from himself and the Spirit that is requisite to put us even as far as we're to go, which is New Jerusalem. I'm not going to take and use these words here unless I sat and talk with Brother Branham or I can find another tape. If God poured everything into Jesus, how come Jesus wasn't running the show? If I have any understanding of God pouring himself into Jesus, I see a perfect headship and a perfect creation listening to a perfect headship bringing forth perfection. And I see the same thing in the church. I can't go beyond that. I see a church beautiful and obedient with every perfection that lies in him. He poured into her himself in total redemption and everything he has to bring her to that certain place. I won't go beyond on this. Brother Branham tells me more. I cannot take the kenosis as the fundamental people teach it, because first of all, I would have no God standing here. I'd have simply Jesus when Jesus got through. And the church is supreme. Hallelujah. Bring in the smartest men. Bring in the best men. Bring in the talented. Bring in the dedicated. Bring in the godly. Bring in the humble. Bring them all together. Now, we're going to bring forth something really good. Hogwash. I see nothing but the devil himself running the scripture. What did he pour in? Under what conditions? You see what I mean? You simply must bring it to the place where it has to be. And Brother Branham categorically said that the Omega of this hour is headship has come. He is here. And headship came with a perfect revealed word. And now we have a perfectly revealed word in a bride. And that word has within it the ability to bring forth a children to the tree of life and immortality and resurrection to the New Jerusalem for further sanctification and on the way to the New Jerusalem. That's what God poured into Christ as far as I'm concerned. And into the church. If I'm wrong, I'm ready to be stand corrected, but I will not bow to anything that is going to give the church any authority, any power, and they can stand there and say, well, bless God. Yeah, I had a gift of the Holy Ghost, and I raised the dead. You did? Not only God raised the dead. Yeah, people used to say, talk to me, and I'd say, listen, I'm going to tell you people something, and you can get this flat. I never healed anybody in my life, but I know a lot of people who wouldn't get healed if I hadn't have been there. And that's more the truth than the other. I don't know that that's the whole truth. I don't know that that's the whole truth, because I've been a lot of places with a lot of people and ain't nobody got healed. So I should amend my statement, but at this point I will not hash it over and see what I can do better. All right. What he's trying to tell you here is this. The complete perfection and the doneness, D-O-N-E-N-E-S-S, the ultimate. God has at this age now performed. We are absolutely, essentially, unqualifiedly, never mind your so-called evidence, never mind your so-called discrepancies, never mind your so-called judgment, just shut up! Sit down, and for God's sake, let somebody mug you so you can't talk. And plug your ears so you can't hear. And cover your eyes so you can't see. And just think of what was said. And as you do, shove out every other thought that was there, or your previous thoughts may entertain, or your experience may dictate to you as though your experience can dictate anything. And just listen to what he said. He said, this is the end time where this takes place. I'm in the Father in me, and I'm in you, and you and me, we're one. Right there, the heart, the mind wants to say, now just a minute, I've got every good reason not to believe that. Now here's the point. It would be lovely if I could. But I'm not some kind of a sucker to believe. But if anybody knows myself, I should. The Bible says you don't know yourself. Who can know the heart? I, the Lord God, try the reins. The heart is desperately wicked. The Bible speaks of the man of God saying, feed me with food convenient, and if I don't like it, I'll spit it out. No, I said that, not the Bible. The Bible said, feed me with food convenient. All right, spiritual food in due season then. So here's what Brother Branham is talking about at the end time. It's very, very marvelous. And it's based on what he said previously. This great vindicated ministry, God in the prophet, God doing the works, a true believer, true seed, the Omega, prophet, Elijah, bringing us this great, tremendous thing. Now, look, now the bride and tree life and tree of life are one. Now that's his hour. The bride and the tree of life are one. In other words, like husband and wife are one. Christ and his bride are one. In other words, they're married and their lives are coming together more and more. Headship is of the husband. Not that the wife doesn't have input. Her input is to believe and realize how wonderful all is to have that kind of headship and husband and go right along. Christ and his bride are one, same thing, same spirit, same work, same signs, same everything. For the works that I do shall you do also. How long? To all the world. How much? To every creature. Is that right? Oh, now, I'm going to close now. I'm going to fire a magnum. Now, magnum, of course, is a very famous gun that's got an awful lot of kick to it, got a lot of power. Quite expensive. Hunters and gunsmen love them. They're kind of the creme de la creme, or what do you want to call it. So he's going to fire this magnum here. Actually, what he said up here is a big Bertha. So I really don't know what he's going to get out of firing a magnum. Because if I've got this up here, and that's guaranteed me, anything else is something like the casting of the big shell. But anyway, we'll read on. It's in here. What he says is a magnum, all right. It's a kind of a starter. The Roman caterpillar started eating on that black tree and took it plumb to the roots in the same Roman tree. What kind of a tree did cut Christ down? Roman tree. What kind of a tree cut Christ's bride down? Roman tree. How? Now watch. By substituting something besides the word. Now he's told you what the word is here. Now somebody's going to come along and going to make a substitution. You see, the Protestant church that doesn't take the word of God as a daughter of the Roman church. She didn't take it either. God never at any time organized the church. The Roman Catholic Church was the first organization, and every one of them are daughters to her that organize, and they die with her. The Bible said he would, now watch, the Bible said he'd burn her children with fire. Now that's part of the big shot he's firing, because you know and I know a lot of the congregation there were not believing him. He said, I caught your thought just then about a certain thing a while back. Remember he read that? they weren't there. There were Trinitarians sitting there. There were people that believed in gifts, and they sat right there denying Brother Branham. Just waiting to grab something he said that they could make use of and run. Because they knew if anybody had a good, strong iron fist that could reach in the fire of coals for the hot chestnuts, it was William Branham. So they're sitting around thinking he was like them, a bunch of thieves. And they're waiting for him to stick his hand in, so to speak, if they get the chestnuts for him, they'd eat him and run. You think they didn't? Come on, I'm not 79 years old and I've been in this thing all these years. I preach his message a long time. I'm not blind, dumb to what happened. Remember the guy stood around and said, Brother Branham, you know how to fish, you know how to fish, get the fish, get the fish, get the fish. Yeah, they're still doing it. Yeah. Reading what they can get to make themselves good, everything else. So they substitute and they die with her. Organization dies. The Bible said he would burn her children with fire. How many know that? The Bible says so. Well, the Bible said that the wheat and tares would grow together until the last day. Then he would bind the tares. Is that right? First, and burn them. And the wheat would go to the garner. Is that right? The tares are binding themselves together in organization, confederation, and churches for the atomic burning. Exactly right. But the church is getting ready to go to the garner just as sure as the world in the rapture for the free woman won't be heir with the bond woman. Now, we're waiting for the coming of that glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Now, he said, just there, he said, your words, based upon vindication, are going to form a bride. And that bride at the end time, he said, as I am in the Father in me, and I in you. Oh, everything's all one now. Everything is all one. We're back to where we were. Said, man, hold it, man. My heart is still a little bit fuzzy. Oh, my mind is fuzzy. And oh, my actions. I deplore my actions. Merciful God, what I said today and what I said yesterday, what I'm always saying. Oh, God, this is horrible. Well, you're going to believe yourself or you're going to believe the Word? See, that's the thing you're looking at. You're looking at the battle of the mind, the battle of the ages at this particular point. Well, you say, well, bless God, I guess I'm not bright, but somebody is. Well, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. What if you are bright and you have to stand before God having said that? If you're not bright, what are you doing here? Make-believer? You know, the people can do without you. Really, we don't need money for this church. We can sell it. I got a friend who's Italian. He's got some relatives. They keep calling, hey, so-and-so. You want somebody out of the way? I've got a hitman come down and burn the house. I'm just kidding, of course. But I'm just telling you, who needs? It's a time to be honest. Surely we can't be like I know for goodness sake we can't be like a friend of mine who believed he was born again, but he quit going to fundamental churches because I said, why, brother? Well, he said, they're always fighting. I said, but you can't go to the dead, dying church there. Well, he said, brother Dave, you don't understand. He said, I'm tired of fighting. It's just nice to sit there and relax. Now, I don't believe you're one of those guys, because if you could sit here and relax under my ministry, no. If you can't be one of those guys, you better stand up and be counted. All right, he's fired this magnum here. He's firing it. There's no two ways about it. And he's telling you right here something from Matthew. And he's talking about what John the Baptist said about Jesus. And you notice that John the Baptist took the Alpha and Omega. He was a real prophet. And you're always going to find Alpha, Omega, Alpha, Omega, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, beginning and end, beginning and end. Sowing and harvest, sowing and harvest, sowing and harvest. You can't do it. So over here in John 3, from what Brother Brown is talking, John said, verse 11, chapter 3, I indeed baptize with water and repentance, but he that's come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and thoroughly purges for and gathers wheat in the garner, but to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, from looking at all the root words, and I did look them up, I would say that the most basic translation, this about Jesus here fanning his hand, thoroughly purge his floor and gather wheat in the garner, is that he will divide absolutely in a distinct and strong winnowing the chaff from the wheat. So that's what you're looking at. Now let's get the scripture to show you I'm not lying to you. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his floor. Now, the floor there in the original is a winnowing floor, which is made very hard, like clay, hard and almost like cement. Remember, the animals pass over it in order to, or they use a weight to crush it, stones and animals and so on. Then they raise it up in the air and they have winnowing fans that blow. And what it says here, he will divide absolutely in a distinct and strong winnowing the chaff from the wheat. In other words, the end time, this fellow's going to come on strong, and don't you think he won't? Yeah, see, a fellow I preached years back in Tucson Tabernacle, and a fellow sat there. He's dead now. He's a nice guy. Preacher. And I'm a long-winded preacher. Jack Bell doesn't have to be nice to me and say, well, he's just got a lot of things to say about the subject. He's not long-winded. I'm long-winded. I TB it one time, but I outgrew it. No problem. I mean, two good lungs. And when I got through, he looked at me and he said, well, he said, it was fine, but it was an overkill. Too hard for the old boy. Couldn't take it. That's why people couldn't take Brother Brown's preaching. 80% just vindication and little things here and there. And boy, he came on strong. There's a friend of mine who died. I went to see him and I thought he'd believe more about Brother Branham, because I was believing Brother Branham, having written the books and so on. And he said, oh, he said, I'm surprised, he said. He was Irish. Oh, I'm surprised, he said. You leave Ale of all men. He said, I walked in your shadow. You were second William Brown. But he said, who can stand here for ranting and raving? I thought, merciful God, I had a shadow to walk in. And I discerned a lot like Brother Branham. Hey, if that was the truth, it was a cinch I would walk with Brother Branham. He was too strong for the guy. He couldn't take his apple cart being turned upside down, thrown in the lake of fire. He couldn't stand the winnowing fan. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. The ground is so hard, at this point, you cannot dig in and hide. There's no place to hide. And the wind is so strong that if you are a bright child, this wind of the Holy Ghost, that Brother Branham calls it the Holy Ghost, it'll blow you from inside out and scour you. And they're not going to take it. They're not going to take it. Remember, the organization gets all bound together. The chaff gets all burnt up with the stalks and everything else. And the bride goes into the kingdom. All right. Now, that's a magnum. There was one. And he said, we're watching now for the bride to get taken away. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Oh, he will burn the tares and the wheat he'll gather in the garner. Roman caterpillar started eating on that tree in the days of Paul. He said, I'm persuaded, now from Scripture, that after my departing, men shall rise up among you, brethren, the sheep, skins over them, wolves inside, will draw away many after them. They never were right in the first place. But this, and if anyone was right at that time, they lend a little ear, and that pulled them away. I won't say they're lost, but I'm going to tell you one thing. They sure started the bride downhill. Some of these things I simply don't understand. I just believe. For the spirit of Antichrist that you heard that was to come into the world is already in the world now. Ha ha. Working in the children of what? Disobedient. Not, disobedience is the word. Now, disobedient to what? The word. That's it. See? He just had a disobedience. It should be the word, not instead of disobedient. There you are. Or he could have said disobedient people. There you are. Organizations began forming. You see what I mean, friends? All that say that, say amen. You see, now here's where he's letting them in with his magnum, leading them on, showing them, listen, this is how it is, so don't try to figure something else. Don't try to add a word to it. Don't try to take away. Just listen and believe. Beginning to eat. What did it do? What did it do, in other words. That old caterpillar started that old cankerworm that Joel saw. Listen now, we're coming down to the end. Joel saw it, and he said, what the palmer worm left, the locust ate, the cankerworm got, cankerworm left, the caterpillar got. That's what he said, and that's exactly, that's the tree of God, the tree. Cut it down, the cankerworm. All right, now, what you're looking at here then is that if all manner of life is gone, or rather manifestation of life is gone. If all the manifestation of life is gone, see, the leaves are gone, the bark is gone, the whole thing is there, and there's a tree standing there now, but there's no manifestation of life. See, the tree's dead. And that tree, having died, is going to finally corrupt, and there'll be nothing to it. It'll just fall over in the dust, and that's it. And they don't think of a branch coming up. They don't think of a spring coming up. They think the tree is gone. He never reproduced, never bring anything. It's gone, it's finished, it can't come back. So all manifestation of life is gone. It's gone down, except it's down, what's left is in the roots. Then whatever is manifesting on that tree, now watch, whatever is manifesting on that tree cannot be from God. Now the church is producing. It's building buildings, it's making schools, it's making hospitals, it's doing missionary work, it's feeding the sick, it's going to be, it's doing a lot of things, and nobody's against it. It's good. And on the day of judgment, it'll count for him. How much, I don't know. Don't ask me, because I don't know.
I said, don't know those things.
But I know one thing, that the manifestation at that point is not of God, because the church already was so corrupted, they had another spirit, another Jesus, another word. Now, all you can bring forth then at this point are wolves in sheep clothing. Except that little tiny bit of light that's down there in the roots. Every now and then a little spurt every generation to give people some help. All right. The Roman caterpillar started eating on the bride tree and took it all the way to the roots, cut it all the way back, everything. Cut the tree right off, just like it did to Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. Cut the bride down, right down. Started out with creeds and dogmas. Same old bug, but what, huh? Oh, glory, but in its roots was a predestinated seed, the royal seed of Abraham. It could not die. The word was in the roots of the promise. I will restore, saith the Lord. What? All the years the caterpillar cut off, all the locusts had eaten. All the rest of the bugs eaten, I'll restore it back, saith the Lord. Now, at this particular point, we have to realize that Brother Branham is not speaking of a tree distinct and apart from the bride. We're talking of the bride that's in there somewhere in the roots. And that's why evidently there's been no manifestation through the ages, except very, very little. But she's in there, down the roots. Now, I compare this with last Sunday and the Sunday before, these messages now. Listen close now. You come to the closing. What? I will restore, saith the Lord, all that the bugs ate off. I'll bring every bit of it right back again. Now, sit quiet. We can have a few minutes. Listen very close, getting ready to pray. So God's promises began to restore, for God said he would restore. Just the same as he raised up that bridegroom tree, he raised up the bride tree, because there's going to be one right yonder as sure as the world. Well, when he says right yonder, he's meaning right now. And yonder is not way off in the future, it's yonder. Right? In other words, right here, you're looking at it. What now? All right. So God's promises begin. God's promise begins. I'll restore, saith the Lord, all of the locusts, ate the caterpillar, and so on. Like in the first time when he built that first church, I'm going to get some doctrine now. If you don't want to believe it, all right. But you just better search it for a seed now before you reject it. Notice, how did he grow that tree in the first place? Oh, my. This does me so good. I know I don't sound much like a minister standing here like this, but I love what I'm talking about. Now, notice, the first time when he started that first church, that Roman caterpillar ate off, the cankerworm, so forth. He started out with justification by faith, John the Baptist. In St. John 13, chapter 13, Jesus said, sanctify them, Father, to the truth. Thy word is truth. Second work was sanctification to the church. After justification was sanctification. After that, we're sanctified. He asked to tarry in Jerusalem, Luke 24, 29, till they endure the power from on high. There he gave birth to the tree, the Holy Ghost, Pentecost. Justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost. Then Jesus came right on to dwell in it to bring forth the fruits. Amen. Is that right? Well, you see, you got the life in the tree. It should have brought it forth. It's very true. John preached justification. Now look, that constitutes natural birth. When a woman is giving birth to a baby, listen to this. The first thing happens to a woman, what breaks forth is water. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Justification. That's the second thing happened to a woman. Blood. Is that right? Blood. Sanctification. That's the next thing. Life, water, blood, spirit. 1 John 5:7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear record in earth, the water, blood, and spirit, and they are not only one, but they only agree in one. See, they're not one, they agree in one. You can't have the Father without having the Son. You can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. But you can be justified without being sanctified, and you can be sanctified without having the Holy Ghost. How about that, you Nazarene brethren? And this is where I think he hits the biggest shot from his magnum. They have been sanctified by Jesus Christ a year and 6 months before the Holy Ghost has ever come. Is that right? They were sanctified by Jesus Christ. And that is exactly true. They've been sanctified before Jesus had died and risen in order for the Holy Ghost to come back. That's in John 17, you'll find that. Now, as he brought forth the first bride tree that the locust and palmer were made down, he's restoring the second tree, bringing it up from the predestinated roots that cannot die, that's standing by the rivers. It's living in the waters. It couldn't show itself, but it's there anyway. Now, it started. So let's read it again. Now, he has brought forth the first bride tree that the locust and palmer were cut down. See, he's restoring the second tree, bringing the second time around, bringing it up from the predestinated roots that cannot die.
that's standing by the river. It's living in these waters. It couldn't show itself, but it's there anyway. Now, it started. Now, as you look at this particular picture, you can understand from Brother Branham talking about justification and sanctification, you can be talking about foolish virgin in there, too. I'm not going to try to explain it because I can't. But you can be justified without being sanctified. You can be sanctified and not have received the Holy Ghost. And that's where the Nazarenes were. And many, many people like them. They never got that far. He said Judas never went on to the baptism. Why would you say that? Because Brother Branham mentioned justification, but Jesus mentioned that Judas wasn't one of them. So he would never have gone on anyway. But there are those who never get on there. They go up in the second resurrection and they go into eternal life. They bring their glory into the holy city. Those things we know about. These things here, we just have to leave them as he says them, because what his main theme is can this tree come back? Can there be a bride tree at the end of the age? Will there be a bride the same caliber as there was at the time of Paul? And the answer is yes, there has to be. See, notice the same insects. He restores back the same thing by the same way. The first, when that tree started to come forth out of Catholicism, now watch, with Martin Luther, who preached justification. The second was John Wesley, who preached sanctification. Luther preached justification. The just will live by faith. Wesley preached sanctification, the second death and work of grace. And then came the Holy Ghost, just as he built the tree up the first time. Here he's restoring again in the same manner a second time. Do you see that? So Brother Branham is talking here now about the end time, where there's going to be this tree that comes back in a perfectly justified position. So I'm not going to go on. There's a good place to start next Saturday here, so I'm not going to take any more. But we have Brother Branham giving us the understanding at this particular point that there is going to be a bride tree. And there's going to be an Omega bride as there was an Alpha bride. Because there was an Omega Jesus, there's going to be an Alpha Omega, an Alpha. And that Alpha, of course, is where he comes as the head over the church, exactly as it was in the days of the Apostle Paul, the same one that came down in the pillar of fire to bring the message, the word to Paul, the same one is here revealing it. And in spite of what anybody sees, feels, hears, or thinks, or compares to past history, or attempts to divide according to what that person is sure he or she knows, that's off track completely. I do not know, to say beyond what I say continuously, that one word off is death. You can look at all the good works. You can look at everything that the sanctification can bring forth, that the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the power of God, can bring forth. You can look at all of that, and you can end up being a kind old priest, a false vine. You could be at best foolish virgin. You could be at very best true bride with a true understanding and the use of the gifts and every single thing that you might have. But I'm not here to say that I've got anything lined up that I believe a bride should be, and I'm going to categorize that. And I'm going to stand for that and demand that of myself and every single other person or preacher doing it right today. I mean, I get their information. And all I can say is, well, I'm very glad that if they feel they've got all of that, that they pray so many hours, they win so many souls, they do this, and a million miles off the word, as far as I'm concerned. They haven't learned one of the principles. So if you're going to get anywhere, if you're going to come to the stature of what you feel justification should provide and sanctification provide or anything else provide, you're going to have to come to the full understanding. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? And do you believe this word, word by word, and you're adding word by the grace of God, and then leaving yourself open so that what God may require of you in the line of some duty or something, that's fine. But Brother Branham himself said, now that you have all of this, which is guaranteed positively, we'll put you in the rapture. Just live good Christian lives. So the base letter is,
What does God expect of me as a good Christian? And now you're going right where Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in the Spirit. Go to your Bibles and begin to find out, what is it that God would have me to do? What is it? Is that walk in the Spirit? Now, you may never have a gift to compare with it. That's something between you and God. I am not God. You are not God. This is sovereign. But there's one thing where God's word stands clean across the board. The prophet said, now, he said, would you have what you need? He said, see that you live good Christian lives, which is nothing more than Paul said. If you live in the Spirit, you've got this word, you've got it, then see that you walk in it. What do you mean walk in it? Well, as simple as ABC, if you want to look at it, what did the Spirit say about it? And then we begin to do what? What are we doing when we walk in the Spirit? We are beginning to sow. Walking is nothing but sowing. You say, well, just a minute. What about the fact that sowing is what I'm doing and somebody else is, and now I'm reacting? That's true. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Get it out of your system. Forgive the fellow because he's going to pay and you're not. Now, that's the best part. And that's one of the hardest, because we want to stand around and make sure he pays, because we're not sure that God's going to make him pay. I got news for you. I got a watch here. I can take it off and throw it as hard as I can against that wall. Say, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, watch me smash that watch. So at least throw it. Nothing's going to happen. In the name of Jesus, that watch is going to smash. Don't try to con Jesus out of sowing and reaping. You understand what I'm saying? Don't try to con him out of it. I don't care how smart you think you are. Cincinnati is not the capital state of Ohio. If you pray, cut yourself, gas yourself, even drink arsenic, by tomorrow morning, Columbus is still the capital. Right? Oh, I got that right. It's not Columbus Grove or Springfield. Wasn't Springfield once going to be the capital? What was? Chillicothe? Chillicothe, that was it. Chillicothe used to be. It's going to be, yeah. But I got news. Don't write Chillicothe on your exam and say, now, Lord, you tricked me, because it was the capital. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the time we have a fellowship together around the Word, which you brought is being vindicated. And Lord, if there's any organizational, creedal, dogmatic thing in our lives, I don't believe there is, Lord. In spite of the fact we've got a little old charter here and we're allowed to do a couple of things, we could burn that thing tonight. It wouldn't mean anything to mount the hill of beans. It's just a little legal instrument, Lord. We've been advised to just keep it on the count of little privileges it gives. But Lord, if you want us to humble ourselves to a place where you want to trust you even there, and we lose our shirts in doing it, because that's just part of the great game of life, to go down to the grave taking nothing anyway but the Spirit of God, the things of God, the character and rawness, then that can go too. But Lord, we don't want anything to do with the creedal organizational substances, and above all, we don't want a heart, Lord, that leans toward it, is interested in it, but absolutely rejects to the place of violent winnowing, just like a whirlwind, a tornado, just cleaning out our hearts, Lord, and minds of all of these things that are not to be there. And now to lean upon the grace which has been committed, and we know it has been committed by vindicated word, to lean on it. And not only lean on it, which is good to start with, but be so infused by it in us, that we can run and not be weary, we can walk and not faint, and take wings like eagles and flies. That's what we're looking at, Lord. Bless your people as they go. May these words not fade from our hearts and mind, but reach deep within there, O God, and form such a tremendous structure within us that this heart becomes nothing but fortified, vindicated word of God. And when people say, what kind of a heart have you got? I don't have a heart anymore. It's all been changed. It's vindicated word of God lying there. Now, Lord, we look for the life to come out of it, patience and sweetness and kindness, whatever's necessary, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, rejoicing,
As the prophet often sang, just love to sing, will you walk in the light, beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night, Jesus, the light, the word, the light of the world. So go with us, Father, those who go and stay, those who stay and pray and whatever else, Father. May it be a time rejoicing and blessing in Christ, the sweetness and perfect the beauty of Almighty God, shining in hearts and through each other. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Take the name.